We're going to look at verse 41 to verse 48 tonight. Verse 41 is where we begin, and down to verse 48. The letter there that is in my Bible, and might be in yours too, is vow. How many see that? That's the Hebrew letter. It's written in the English for us, vow. It does not mean vow like, make a promise to somebody. It's just typically a letter there, but it signifies another section of Psalm 119 the Lord wants us to pay attention to. It's the sixth letter in the Hebrew letter alphabet. And let's take a look at it. Verse 41 to verse 48. Just follow along and I'll read it for us tonight. The Bible says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Notice verse 41 again, please, where the Bible says, "Let thy mercies, O Lord, come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Mercies, mercies. Grace, we often talk about grace and love to sing that song, Amazing Grace, don't you? One of the most famous, well-known songs, Christian songs in history. And grace is wonderful. Grace is God's unmerited favor or gifts for you and me. We can't earn grace. We will never do anything for God's grace. He simply has given it to us out of his great love. And certainly the greatest gift he gave is Jesus Christ. And then following receiving Christ, his grace continues. Amen. His grace continues. But mercy is a different side of the coin. Mercy is God's withholding of deserved punishment. Think about that. Mercies is God withholding deserved punishment. The Bible says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me." Keep me from the punishment I deserve. That's what David is saying. That's what the psalmist is writing. Keep me from the punishment that I deserve. Do you think that's a worthy request to God? Let me ask you this. Have you ever asked God that? "Lord, I know what I deserve, but would you somehow protect me, protect my family, etc.?" And I believe that's where the psalmist, his heart was as he shared this, at least the way I see it. Here the Bible says of itself that God's mercies are found in the Word of God. As we peruse, as we search, as we study the Bible, God says you'll find more of my mercies available. Isn't that amazing? How many need more mercy than they deserve? We all do. We all do. And God says this, "You get my word, you'll find my mercies." A college student was on his way to college, and his parents, one of the last things they told him was, son, they gave him a new Bible when he went off to college and said, "If you have any needs, look in God's word. The answers are there." Well, a month or so went by, and he called his parents and said, "Hey, I'm low on cash. Could you send me something?" The parents said, "Have you been reading your Bible? Because all the answers are right there." He said, "Sure." And they said, "Well, you keep reading and you let us know." Another month goes by. They did the same thing. He called, "I need some money." They said, "Have you been reading your Bible? The answers are there." "Oh, yes, but I still need cash." "Well, you seek the Lord in the Word of God." Finally, he came home for break and he was not happy with his parents. He said, "Mom and Dad, why didn't you guys send me any money?" They said, "Son, don't you remember? We told you to look in the Bible. You said you were reading it all the time." He said, "I did." And they said, "No, you didn't. Because you didn't find the $200 we had put throughout your scriptures when we handed it to you." You know, God saves us, and he wants us to know that the mercies continue. Aren't you thankful for that? The mercies of God continue, but it starts certainly with his salvation, like it says here, "Even thy salvation according to thy word." Before we go any further, we're looking tonight. Here's the title if you're writing notes tonight. The Merciful Defense of God and His Word. the merciful defense of God, the defense that we don't deserve, and His Word. The merciful defense of God and His Word. Before we go any further, would you bow with me? I'll pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us as we go through it tonight. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing of having it in our hands. So many of us have more than one copy of the Word of God in our homes. Thank You, Lord, that we have those things, but yet its power is limited by the time we spend in it. And Father, I pray tonight that the zeal to be in Your Word only grows. The joy of having it and searching through it only grows. And the exhortation of it will only guide and direct us tonight, Lord. May You get the glory through the things said and done here this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The merciful defense of God and His Word. Verse 41, once again, says, "Let Thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even Thy salvation according to Thy Word." Number one, some thoughts for us tonight about the merciful defense of God. Receive God's mercies according to His Word. Receive God's mercies according to His Word. All of us need His mercy, amen? But sometimes we seek it in a different way than He tells us to. We're looking for His mercy simply because we need it. But God says, listen, there's a way to do it. There's a way to follow through and see it in your life. The Bible tells us, first of all, there in verse 41, that receiving Christ receives God's mercy and salvation. Praise the Lord for Jesus. And let's take a look at Him in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, "Thy mercies," in verse number 41 there, "even Thy salvation come also unto me." The Bible says that Jesus is the answer for that salvation for you and me. Do you know Him tonight? Have you received Him tonight? God says His mercy has opened up the doors of heaven through Jesus. If you need Him tonight, call on Him. Verse number 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we're looking. Apostle Peter writing here, he says to those that are at the time in 1 Peter, some of us have studied this out a little bit. This was during a time when there was great persecution. Great persecution was about to come. It was starting. It was about to come. 2 Peter is when they're in it. And he begins to share God's letters to those who were through it at the time. But he starts out his letter in 1 Peter with this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." All receiving Christ receives God's mercy and salvation. By His mercies, He saves us. The Bible tells us, secondly, receiving the Bible's exhortation shields from reproach. If you go back to Psalms 119, take a look at verse 48. Receiving God's, the Bible, exhortation shields from reproach. What does it say there in verse number 42? "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me." Why? "For I trust in" what? "Thy word." Thy word. Oh, we talked about it this morning a little bit. If we continue to trust in what the world trusts in, our defense is weak at best. And the things that we rely on in this world eventually all dissipate. All of it will end, but the mercies of God, the Bible says, are forever. Aren't you thankful for that? God says, trust in His word to seek that shield from reproach. A couple weeks ago, we looked at this word reproach. It means scorn. In the New Testament, it uses the word scorn. Other parts of the Bible, the book of Proverbs uses scorn. But it's the same idea, reproach. Receiving the Bible's exhortation shields from reproach. Turn with me, if you would, chapter 18 of the book of Psalms. Take a look at what God says He desires to shield and protect us from as we trust in His word. Psalm 18, verse number 30. A couple places we're going to look at here when we talk about God's shield and protection. Verse number 30 of chapter 18 says this: "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." Circle that word buckler. Keep it in your memory for a second. Back in Psalm 119, verse 114 says this: "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word." Proverbs chapter 30, let's go there. Proverbs 30. And look at verse number 5 with me, please. Proverbs 30, verse number 5. As a matter of fact, would you read that verse with me? It's Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Let's read it together, please. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Running from God starts with ignoring the Bible. Running from God starts ever so slightly with ignoring God's Word. Not hating it, not desiring it, but simply just avoiding it, ignoring it. Without a healthy diet of His Word, I'm removing what God says is a spiritual shield and buckler. In the Old Testament, the words shield and buckler had two different particular pieces of defense as an individual would go out into battle. They were to protect their bodies and vitals, etc. The shield protected from arrows and spears thrown from a distance. They were the large, as we would imagine, the larger piece of defense that they would hold out with the one arm. But if they were to get in close contact, hand to hand, sword to sword, etc., they had something else that they could put on their arm, like around in this area, or maybe on their around their shoulder. That was a smaller shield. It was a smaller circular piece of defense called a buckler. So if they were in hand-to-hand combat, they wouldn't have this large piece of equipment to carry around. They'd have their sword, their weaponry in one hand, and their buckler in the other to protect those quick slashes with the swords or knives. Hand-to-hand attacks. God's truth, here's the truth, is protection from the enemy's unseen and when the enemy is up close and personal. And without God's word in your life on a daily basis, you're giving Satan and anybody else a free shot. Is God's word your shield and your buckler tonight? God says, receive His mercies according to His word. Number two. Let's go back. Psalm 119 there. Psalm 119. Verse number 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Number two. Repeat God's mercies because they have eternal value. He said, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. And then verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Repeat God's mercies because they have eternal value. How do we repeat God's mercies? A couple ways the Bible gives us clues here. Verse 43, it says that it should be coming from our mouth, that there should be something verbally said. Repeat them, number one. Verbally. Repeat them verbally. Did you know that since you can't read minds, nobody else can read minds either? How many knew that? Yeah, the 1-800 number, they can't read your fortune. They can't read your mind. They can't do that kind of stuff. And God says that's why we need to verbally let others know what Jesus is doing, what God is doing, to testify of His goodness and evangelize those who need Him as Savior. Hey, it's a blessing to hear of what God's doing in somebody else's, another Christian's life. Amen? That's what's important. We need to share those things, not so that we can consider how great God's working in one person and not the other. No, that's not the way it works with God's people. It is simply to encourage one another that here's what God's doing, and He can do it through anybody. If He can do it through us, He can do it through anybody. Testify, evangelize, repeat them verbally, the mercies of God. Then verse 44 gives us an indication that they need to be repeated behaviorally. That is, through our actions. Repeat them behaviorally. Say that 10 times real fast, but under your breath, not out loud, okay? Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Search the scriptures for counsel. Obey the scriptures for retention. You know, you take classes, and I appreciate the college courses, but truthfully, sooner or later, the practicality has to come into play if you're going to learn how to do it. And sometimes, usually there's mistakes that are made, but by God's grace, you can continue to grow and learn how to do something the right way or a better way. And God says he wants you to obey the scriptures so that not only that you do what's right, but that you remember what's right. Amen? That you'll remember how to do what's right. I had one teacher tell me one time, the more you learn, the more you're capable to learn. The more you learn, the more you're capable. And memories are important. Sometimes they don't always work the way we want them to. And that's why God wants us to reinforce it through our actions. Three older gentlemen went to the doctor for a memory test. The doctor asked the first one, what is 1 plus 1? 274, he said. The doctor asked the same question of the second man. What is 1 plus 1? Tuesday, he said. The doctor tried the third man. What's 1 plus 1? 2, said the third man. Oh, that's great. The doctor was excited. How did you get that? Oh, simple, said the third man. I subtracted 274 from Tuesday, and it comes out to be 2. Repeat God's mercies. Repeat God's mercies. That's not true, by the way. That doesn't do that. Repeat God's mercies because they have eternal value. Eternal value. The Bible tells us you and I can receive God's mercies. We can repeat God's mercies. And here's a third one found in verse number 45. Let's take a look there. Verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Here's a third thought for us tonight when we're talking about the merciful defense. Number 3, relish God's mercies for the dignity they command. Relish God's mercies for the dignity they command. Verse 46 says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Verse 47 and 48 both use the same phrase, which I have loved. You know, there's something about the Word of God that demands attention. And especially in authorities, when you're before an authority figure, there's something that's in them that God uses the Word of God to demand their attention. They don't always respond the best way, but there's something about it that God uses in their life and yours. Here's a couple thoughts about that, about relishing the Word of God.
Loving and obeying the Bible frees us from sin's bondage. Loving and obeying the Bible frees us from sin's bondage. Not that we'll ever sin, but from being a slave to it.
Turn with me, if you would, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is in John chapter 8. And the world uses it regularly, but we know how to use it the right way. Let's take a look at it. John chapter 8, and look at verse number 31 with me, please, starting there. John chapter 8 covers a lot of mercy from the Lord Jesus. And here in verse number 30 and 31, he shares that again with us in regards to our need to be free from the bonds of sin. He says, and he spake these words, verse 30, and he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, that's for you and me then, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Isn't that misquoted so much by the world today? But God's answer for being free is simply by loving the Lord Jesus, trusting in him, and obeying his word. Loving and obeying the Bible frees us from sin's bondage, being enslaved by it. Verse number 46, if we go back to Psalm 119, says this again. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Loving and obeying the Bible emboldens our witness. Loving and obeying the Bible emboldens our witness. I'm on a regular a regular list to help out or be before our city council. They open, I don't know if you knew this, but our city council opens their meetings with a word of prayer. I should say the public ones do. I don't know about the private ones. And various ministers in town are on a list to do that. I'm on the rotation. And I have found very interestingly, that as the mayor recognizes the minister, whether it's myself or another, usually I'm only there to hear myself, not them, that he will demand silence almost, an attention to what God's man or God's person is there to do that night. I appreciate that. That's an opportunity, you know. That's an opportunity to share with our city that God still is interested in Eaton Rapids. Amen. And he's interested in Lansing and Charlotte and everywhere we live. But this is an opportunity publicly. And I find it interesting that even before them, at least they allow us to share. There is no restriction about what we share, how long we can pray. I've shared a verse of scripture before, I've prayed before, and no one's ever told me I can't do it again. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? You know, somehow God does share with us. He emboldens us as we share our witness with others. You know, if we're so worried about what we're going to say that we end up not saying anything. We're so worried about how can we get that first word in that we end up not saying anything. Oh, we'll just wait till the Holy Spirit somehow takes over our mouth and we don't know what we're saying anymore. Folks, how many knew the gift of tongues is over? That's not happening today. That's why God wants to use you and the things you've learned and studied from his word to share and be emboldened about giving his witness and gospel. Loving God's word and obeying it emboldens our witness. Here's the final thought for us tonight, and it's found in verse 47 and 48. Let's take a look back in Psalm 119. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Loving and obeying the Bible instills delight in it. He says, I will delight myself in thy commandments. As a kid, I remember mom telling me, you need to clean up that room. I know none of you had that problem, but I did. Mom constantly, okay, I will. And then I go in the room and I would throw this over there and throw that under there and dash things under the bed. And you know, once our kids came along and I became a parent, I found out I wasn't all that weird. A lot of kids do the same thing. I just did it so that mom would be happy with me or get off my back. You know, sometimes we obey because we want to get so-and-so off our back. God says, that's not the way I want to work with you. That's not the way a relationship I want to have with you. I want you to delight in what I tell you to do. And do you know that obeying the word of God, obeying what God says, is far happier and joyful than disobeying it? How many knew that? It's far better. And the end result is always better. The end outcome is always better. Turn with me, if you would, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. God wants us to delight, and he instills that as we obey and love his word. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll close with this tonight. Philippians 1, starting in verse number 18 here. And let's do read that together. Philippians 1, please, verse number 18. Let's read it out loud together. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Hey, we ought to praise the Lord when God's word is shared, when it's read, when it's obeyed. We ought to rejoice in that. Amen. Rejoice that God and his statutes and his law and his word are getting out there and that there's those that want to obey and honor it, even tonight. God says he wants you and I to consider the merciful defense of him and his word in our life. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're so merciful to us. We deserve the kind of discipline, the kind of correction, the kind of punishment that you know all about. And yet there are times we can call on your mercies, and in your grace, you answer. And yet, Lord, it is your word. It is your word that is part of the ingredients, part of the method of getting to the point where we're in good fellowship with you. I pray, Lord, our desire for it and for you would grow even deeper tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me, please, tonight before we sing that song? Maybe God's spoken to you today, perhaps tonight about his word, perhaps tonight about the mercies that he's provided for us and that we can call upon, perhaps about somebody's soul that needs the Lord Jesus. He wants you to be emboldened tonight to speak to them, whatever it might be. Perhaps about something that was shared throughout the day that God has impressed upon you and you need to bring it before him. Why don't you do that tonight? I'm going to ask the piano to softly play in just a moment. She'll softly play. The song will sing. But if God's spoken to you, why don't you respond? I found the best thing to do when God speaks to me is he wants me to speak right back to him. Would you call on him tonight as she begins to play?